Joining us this morning on the Newsline, Phyllis Kaminsky. Phyllis is a St. Mary's College Religious Studies professor and has a little bit of background on Valentine's Day. Good morning, Phyllis. How you doing?
I'm just fine. Thank
Good.
You.
Good. Thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it. Now, you know, St. Valentine's Day, we think of it as far as, you know, you just heard Paul there with Cupid and the arrow and love notes and all that sort of thing. Is it actually a religious holiday or not, named for St. Valentine?
Well, it is, but it's one of those holidays that has kind of deep, mysterious roots when you think about the history. We actually don't know who St. Valentine was. He was either a priest in Rome who helped persecuted Christians and was beheaded on February 14th.
Now, there's a romantic thought, yeah.
Right. Or he was someone who secretly married couples when marriage was forbidden.
Well, that's the one that I've heard. Now, do we know how these things got started?
Well, yes, I do. There was it at the time when the feast got started. There was an ancient Roman festival, a pagan festival to a fertility god named Lupercus.
Okay.
And at that time, a young man would draw the name of a woman in a lottery, and would have her as a sexual companion for the year.
Hmm. Now, we don't do that anymore, right?
No, the Pope was less than thrilled with the custom.
I can imagine that. Although Paul Weaver was kind of rubbing his hands together going, oh, that sounds like fun. Okay.
So what he suggested was that young men and women draw the names of saints whom they would then imitate for the year.
Ah, I see. All right. So a little substitution there.
A little substitution. Uh-huh. And so, but the, you know, what happened was the day continued to be an occasion to seek affection and to express affection.
All right. But it really goes back to the, now, do we know whether St. Valentine actually existed? You said that this would be back in Rome, so I assume this would be in like the 400s or the 300s?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those where we don't know. And that's why in the late 60s, the Catholic Church dropped St. Valentine from the calendar of official feasts. Hmm. It was like St. Christopher.
I see. Yeah, but, because many people may not know. St. Christopher is similar in the sense that we don't really know, you know, whether he was actual or not, right? It's kind of a mythical figure?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what they do hold, of course, is that someone like a St. Valentine who stood for love, who witnessed to his faith, obviously did exist. So that doesn't stop us from celebrating.
Where do we get the name Valentine? Was that just sort of handed down through the ages?
Well, I think it was a name, and so that we have this priest named Valentine, a bishop named Valentine, you know. So it was a name, and yet we can't identify one particular person with this holiday.
I see. All right. And so where was all the modern attachments come from? The, you know, the Hallmark cards, the Valentines, the little mints and things like that. Is that just sort of a product of modern day corporate America or what?
It's got roots in history too, because I think in the Middle Ages, there was a sense that at this time of year, especially in Europe, that birds were choosing their mates. And so there, you know, there came a sense in which we began to celebrate love, writing love letters, images of birds, and mating that became really important. So my sense is that some of the images that we use today have roots back in the Middle Ages as
sure.
well as way back to the 4th century.
Yeah, the three that come to my mind immediately, and I would think to most people, are hearts, roses, and chocolate on Valentine's Day. Any of those three have any specific connection to the day itself?
I don't think so, yeah. Other than hearts as a symbol of love.
Sure, I can understand that. Roses, I think, have just become sort of the popular floral gift to give these days, and goodness knows they get more expensive around Valentine's Day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And chocolate. What's with chocolate?
Chocolate releases all the same endorphins that love releases, and so I think there is a biological connection more than a spiritual connection or a commercial connection.
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading the other day as we sort of the lead up to Valentine's Day that there used to be in medieval England, I believe, this sort of legend that if a woman saw a robin on Valentine's Day, she would be marrying a sailor. If she saw a sparrow, she would be marrying a poor man. And if she saw a goldfinch first thing on Valentine's morning, she would be marrying a wealthy man. Wow. So, you know, it's kind of almost like the groundhog thing. You know?
Yeah. No, I've never heard that one, and it's a great one, and we'll watch for, you know, make sure we see the right bird first.
Yeah, well, that's true, you know. And in my case, I'm not sure for guys, you know, if we have to see a bird or if we have to see a chick. I don't know how that works. Anyway, there's a little bit of history there, Phyllis, we appreciate you sharing some of it with us this morning. Give us a little bit more clue about how all of this came about, and of course, there are so many holidays that were once holy days and or feasts of some sort or another, and today they just sort of carry on forward. And I spoke of Groundhog Day just a short time ago. I know that one used to be called Candlemas back in the old days.
Exactly.
And it was a religious feast, too. So,
yes.
Interesting. Well, listen, Phyllis, thanks very much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it, and thanks for sharing a little bit of the history of Valentine's Day.
You're most welcome. It was a joy.
You bet. Take care.